Saved, isn't it?
Amen.
It's good to be in church. And we're going to look at a bunch of places in the Bible. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we're going to start. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll pick it up in verse 1. It's to be therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Let's bow our heads. You wait for this. All right, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Hang on a second. There we go. Father, we sure thank you for your goodness, God. We thank you for your grace and your very great kindness, God. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. I'm asking now, God, please be in this service. Father, this service is about you. It is about your Son. It is about your book. God, all of these people, they are here because of you. I ask you now, Father, please claim this for your own and get glory for yourself. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, the Bible says there in verse 2, it said that Jesus Christ gave himself an offering for us. And you know, there are several offerings in the Old Testament. Here's what I want you to think about. You know, we say that Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. He fulfilled the law, did everything that needed to be done. If he did not fulfill, if he was not all of the offerings of the Old Testament, then something still needs to be done. Okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the offerings of the Old Testament and how Jesus Christ fulfilled them. I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 29. And we probably will be leaving Exodus 29 after a while, but when we do, you want to keep a marker there because we'll be coming back. Exodus chapter 29, and the Bible says this, I'll pick it up at verse 10, it said, "And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. And thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. Thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering." Now what I want you to notice about this one is that this one is a bullock, that this offering is made without the camp, that the blood is put on the altar, and that this is a sin offering to pay for our sins. Now, we're pretty familiar with that. I mean, we sing about the fact that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. Guys, he did more than just take care of your sins. But Jesus Christ also suffered without the camp. We know that. And he paid for our sins. And his blood was put on the altar to fulfill that. Now look at verse 15. Verse 15 says this, "Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands upon the head of the ram, and thou shalt lay the ram, and thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. Thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs, and put them upon put them unto his pieces and unto his head, and thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Well, Jesus Christ was not just our sin offering. He was our burnt offering. And notice that it says that when this thing was burnt, it was a sweet savor to the Lord. You have to be out during the summer and smell somebody grilling to understand that. Okay? You know, we don't always come down on the Lord's side. We're supposed to change to be on the Lord's side. Isn't that right? Just like being in church all the time or changing your music, changing your lifestyle, changing your the way you dress, whatever the case may be. We don't line up with God naturally. But every now and then, isn't it nice to know that you did? I mean, when I think that I like the smell of a barbecue and so does God, it just blesses my heart. You know, I told somebody, I said, you know, we don't naturally line up with God, but I said, you get to Genesis chapter 4. I said, they had the first dinner on the grounds, and I said, Cain brought the salad, and Abel brought the meat, and God wasn't interested in that salad. That was the biggest blessing, man, I'm telling you. That was one of the best Bible studies I ever did. to find out that just naturally sometimes I line up with God. But that's what it was. But think about this. That means that Jesus Christ was a sweet savor. And really, if you've ever, you know, I tell this people all the time, if you haven't had a barbecued center cut pork chop, you are missing out on life, okay? And if you ever had one, you would thank God you weren't born Jewish. But the fact is this, you know, you ever get out there and you just smell somebody grilling and how good that smells? That was the way the offering of Jesus Christ went up before God. It was a sweet savor. It was satisfying to God. I look at verse 19. Actually, it says here, verse 19, "And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron his son shall put their hands upon the head of the ram." And I'm not going to read this whole passage. It goes down through here, but look what it says in verse 26. "And thou shalt take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part." Now this is the wave offering. Let me tell you what that passage said this thing involves. It involves a ram. It involves meat and bread. And it is for the priest's consecration. That priest had to be consecrated. This was the offering for that. And notice it says that what he waves in verse 26, he waves the breast. Well, the breast is associated with the heart. I don't know if you realize this, and I know that we are not priests, okay? I understand that preachers are not priests, but a preacher, that is the only, if I have no better word, excuse me for saying vocation. I don't mean that preaching is a vocation, like when a kid is this big, he says, "When I grow up, I want to be a doctor or a teacher or a preacher." You are a preacher because God called you, but it is the only vocation where the heart has to be engaged. The heart has to be engaged in the ministry. You can get some guy and he's young and he's going to Bible, or not going to Bible college, going to medical school because he loves little kids and he wants to be a pediatric doctor. And you know, after a while, that just gets old and he'll get mechanical. But you can be a doctor and you don't have to have your heart engaged. And you know, the lawyers have proven that you don't have to have your heart engaged to be lawyers. And you can be Congress, you don't have to have your brain engaged. But you know what? A preacher that does not have his heart engaged has what we call retired in the pulpit. And I'll tell you what happens, people. Now, I'm going to tell you what happens to every preacher. They put their heart out on the line. Guys, you put your heart out there where people can get to it, and somebody is going to break it. And that's when the real test comes, because once that heart is broken, you know what that preacher's got to decide? If he's going to put it back out there, or if he's just kind of pull in and become a professional. And you know what's hardest thing? It's not getting your heart broken. It's after you've gotten your heart broken, putting it right back out there. But nobody wants a preacher whose heart is not out on the line. And so Jesus Christ, who is also our high priest, and you certainly know that his heart is out on the line. Now look at verse 27. The same ram, there was another part that was offered. It said, "And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is wave." And so this is the heave offering. Now the breast is waved as a wave offering. That is associated with the heart. This is a heave offering. This is associated with the shoulder. And the shoulder is associated with work. And we are supposed to work, all right? Now, a preacher's work is not always mowing the grass. You know, I don't understand how people think when they got a preacher, they got a janitor. Right. And they will come up to a preacher. I've had them, you know, when I pastored. They'll walk up and go, "Pastor, the light is burnt out." To which I always responded, "The light is not all that's burnt out in this room. And the light can be fixed, all right?" But you get that. You know, you get people think that, you know, if the leaves aren't swept, if the grass isn't mowed, if the bathrooms are out of paper towels, they come running to the preacher and they almost demand that he go take care of that. If you want to come to the preacher when there's a problem like that, here's what you do. You say, "Preacher, there's no paper towels in the bathroom. Where are they? I'll go put them out." "Preacher, I notice there's a light out. Where do we keep the light bulbs?" And now, you're ready for this? Ready? Because I'm glad you're sitting down, because this is going to be hard to take. If there aren't any more, go buy them. And don't bring him the receipt. I had a guy in my church. We had a we had those brass, chandeliers that came down, had the flame shaped lights, you know. And I had a guy in my church, he could stand on the back of the pew and he could reach those light bulbs. You know, I would be up, like right now, I'd be up teaching or preaching in the morning, and I would look out there and I would see a burnout light bulb. We had about five or six of those per light bulb per chandelier. And I remember seeing a burnt light bulb about four lights back. And you know what I said to myself? I said, that will not be like that tonight. Walt, that was that guy's name. I said, Walt will take care of that. And it wasn't but after the morning service that I saw Walt stand on the back of the pew. We didn't run pews or jump them. We stood on them to change lights. A little more practical, you know. That's Yankees, you know. But anyway, and I saw Walt up there unscrewing that light bulb. Now, and get this, he would go out and buy the bulbs and not bring me the receipts. I always wondered if he was really Baptist, you know. But there is some work, and of course, there was works involved with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He fulfilled the law, and so there is some work involved. Keep a marker here, but I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. And look at verse 1. It said, when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And so this is a meat offering. Now you understand that meat offering is a meal offering. That is a fine flour. Ladies, I'm not a cook, okay? I mean, I am not a cook. My wife and I have a deal. She cooks, I eat. It has worked out real good. But I don't understand, but I do understand some things about cooking, all right? I understand that some of you ladies make pies and things like that, and you sift the flour. But I don't know what all is in there. Kind of worries you, doesn't it? Anyway, I always want to know what you make with what you caught. But you know what? I've heard that women will, and I understand you can buy pre-sifted flour. And I've heard of women buying pre-sifted flour and sifting that. You know what she's doing? She's trying to make sure there's absolutely no impurities in there whatsoever. And this meat offering, it is fine flour. This thing has been sifted. It is associated with oil like the Holy Spirit. There is frankincense. According to verse 11, look at verse 11. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. So there is no leaven. Of course, you guys know that leaven is a type of sin. But look what else this verse says. For ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about honey being negative. But you know, you say, well, why wouldn't there be some honey involved in this? You know what, honey? I'm told this. I'm told this by everybody that tells me not to use sugar. I use sugar. Now, if you don't use sugar, bring me yours. Okay? I am not interested in hearing about the poison that it is and everything else. I told somebody, I said, look, there was a time when I wanted to jump out of an airplane and I wanted to rappel down a cliff, and I'm beyond that now. Now, if I want to live dangerously, I just use real sugar and real salt. And I'll just pour it on and live at the ragged edge. But here's what I hear about honey. Honey is a purifier. I do believe that. Well, then why was there no honey involved in this? Because in Jesus Christ, there's nothing need purified. There is no leaven. There's nothing needing purified. So Jesus Christ was our meat offering. There was no leaven. There is no honey needed. Oh, look at this verse 13. This is inspired. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with hallelujah. No, not season with hallelujah. Season with salt. Isn't that good? Now, guys, salt is scriptural. If you, I don't think you ought to eat salt. I think you should. To me, I tell people I use salt because of my cholesterol. That is the answer. If you have high cholesterol, use salt. I figure if those veins are closing up, you need more pressure to push the blood through those little holes. Oh, I feel better already. And so on. But that is a meat offering. All right, put your marker there and go back to Exodus. Go back to chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, And somebody here, maybe here, it says this, verse 13. This they shall give, everyone that passeth among them, that are numbered half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, a shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them, that are numbered from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less. Could somebody tell John Kerry that? Would somebody inform him that the poor and the rich are supposed to pay the same amount? Yeah, I wish somebody would ask this guy, I can't remember who that, Soros, you know that George Soros that gave $18 million to his campaign? I wish somebody would say, so you want George Soros to pay more money, right? You want to tax George Soros more. I'd like to hear him stutter a little bit. But anyway, that was free. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. This is the atonement offering. This is a half a shekel of hard cash. You know what that's about? That is about this. Now this may take place amongst some of you. Here's what you'll get in life. You got this guy, and he's a roofer. And you got this guy, and he's a mechanic. And the mechanic says, the mechanic says, you know what? My garage where I work needs a new roof. And he goes to the roofer. You know, you come to church one morning and say, hey, you roof, and I do mechanical work. Could you think you could roof my garage and give me a price? And the roofer says, I'll tell you what, I will roof your house. I'll roof it. You pay for the shingles. I'll do it free. But my truck that I use needs rebuilt. How about I roof your garage, you rebuild my engine? And you know what? That's barter system. That's not necessarily bad. But you know, there's some guys, they'll say this, I'll roof your place, pay me. And I'll give you my truck to work on, and I'll pay you. There are just some people that are interested in hard cash. They don't want any kind of a barter system. I'm not saying it's bad or good, but here's what's neat. God covers all the bases. He really does. And so Jesus Christ was the atonement, and it was the hard cash. I mean, if you're one of those people that just says, well, that's okay. No, I don't want to trade job for job. You just give me currency, and I'll give you currency, and we'll all be settled. And you say, well, I don't understand. Because I've heard people, I don't understand it. I mean, I'd have painted his barn for him if he would have just mowed my grass regular. But no. He wants to be paid. That's okay. That's how some people are. And Jesus Christ covered that too. And so he is the atonement offering. Look back at chapter 29. And in chapter 29, look what it says in verse 40. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour, mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. All right, now this is a fourth part of a hin of wine, and before you want to go out and start drinking wine in the name of the Lord, this is poured on the ground. Okay? So you know, the next time you want a social drink, pour it on the ground. I get so tired of it. You know, every drunk in your city knows, well, Bible says use a little wine for the stomach's sake. Yeah, some of these guys got horrible stomachs. And somehow it seems to come from the wine, not the wine's doing anything for it. But this is a drink offering, and it's a fourth part of a hin of wine, and that is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ's blood at the cross was spilled on the ground. Keep a marker here, but go back to Leviticus again, Leviticus chapter 3. And Leviticus chapter 3, here is an offering that everybody here is interested in. Next to the sin offering, this is the only other offering you care about. Look at verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering. And it says, but notice what it said. If he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Take a look at verse 7. If he offer a lamb for his offering, look at verse 12, if his offering be a goat. The reason that's extraordinary is because this is the only offering where God does not specify exactly what animal is to be offered. For one particular offering, he'll say, I want a lamb. I want a lamb of the first year. I want a male. I want it without spot or blemish. Another one, he'll say, I want a bullock. Another one, he'll say, I don't want a lamb. I don't want a bullock. I want a ram. That is a full grown. That's a male that's full grown. You know what he said here? He said, you can have it out of the herd. It can be a bullock. It can be a lamb. It can be a goat. You say, well, why is it? And it can be, look, it doesn't have to be male. It can be male or female. Isn't that right? You say, yeah, it's really kind of like anything will do. Why is that? Because when you need peace, anything will do. I mean, when you need peace, you're desperate, aren't you? You ever needed peace? If you ever needed peace, you know what you're not worried about? You're not worried about going out through the flock and trying to find the firstborn or the exact lamb or the exact ram or the bullock. Man, I mean, God will even take a goat. This is the peace offering. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible said Jesus Christ fulfills our need for peace. But if you need peace, Jesus Christ fulfills your need. He was our peace offering. Yeah, you can keep a marker here, but go back to Exodus chapter 25. You say, why didn't you just stay in Exodus and then go to Leviticus? I have no idea. I have no idea, but I did it, and that's the way I did it, so that's the way we're doing it. Exodus chapter 25, and this is also repeated in Exodus chapter 35. And it says this in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in ephod in the breastplate. This is the willing offering, not to be mistaken for the free will offering. We'll check that out in a little while. This is the willing offering. And you'll notice that this is gold and silver and precious stones. You know what that is? Well, that's the best you got, isn't it? You know, God's not interested in your aluminum cans. God's not interested in your soup labels. Now look, I'm not against that. I go into churches, you know, and they're getting Campbell's soup labels for the school or whatever, and somebody's collecting tin cans along the road and bottles and do what you want. But you know what? When you bring something to God, it better be the best. Amen. And we always want to bring, you know what I found? whenever a church needs something, somebody always has a refrigerator that doesn't work. Well, it works, preacher, but the gasket around the door is bad. Yeah, and the gasket only costs $200, you know, if they still make it. Well, you know, I put a door on it. I made that out of plywood myself, you know. And I think this is worth about $2,000. Can you give me a tax receipt? I mean, you guys, you know, the classic example that I think we've all heard about is somebody wants to send missionary stuff and somebody's going to send missionaries used tea bags. I mean used tea bags. God help us, people. You know, I'm not going to tell you this. I've never said this. You don't have to give your house payment to the Lord. If you've got a house payment, that's your monthly obligation. You make that house payment, okay? But everybody in this place has got some mad money. Everybody in this place has got something tucked away. Now, you guys, I know where you keep yours. You ladies, phew, man, there ain't no telling where you keep yours. I mean, it could be in a washing machine for all I know. I don't know where you keep your mad money. But you know, when the Lord needs something, if you're trying to find a way not to give your best, what you should do is take note of the wickedness of your heart. Okay? And I'm not saying that to call you a name, because you already know you're wicked. Right? But think about this. We kind of give mental assent. Well, yeah, we're all wicked. I know I'm wicked. Yeah, but you know, Think, guys, if you're wicked, it'll show. Right? That's where the gossip comes in. That's where the backbiting comes in. And when it comes time, and by the way, when I say give to the Lord, I'm not talking about the offering for Sam Gift this week. Okay? I'm not trying to get, you know, I've seen places where they try to give earrings and I'd take every man's earring. But anyway, you know, throw the necklaces and earrings in. We'll put them in a hole in the ground somewhere. But, you know, giving wedding rings and things like that. But, you know, if you're going to give to the Lord, this, you know what this was for? This was for the tabernacle. This was for God.
And they brought their gold. Hey, ladies, they brought their precious stones. Didn't say valuable stones, did it? Why didn't it say that? Don't you understand why I didn't say that? Because you can have a ring that is valuable that you don't care for. Oh, I'll give this one to the Lord. No, no, no. Well, why'd you keep this one? Because this one is precious to me. They brought their precious stones. And so in this willing offering, those things were done. And the Bible says, of course, Jesus Christ is a temple that is built without hands. Yeah, keep a marker here one more time. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5. And we'll talk about a problem that everybody has and how you take care of it, how you don't take care of it. Now, I'd like to think this. I'd like to think that sometimes you admit to sin. I don't mean to anybody in particular, to God. That sometimes you admit to sin and actually confess your sins. But have you ever been trying to clean up all of your accounts with God and realize there just might be something you've forgotten? Man, what about sins you forgot? Well, one of the things Christians do is this. You know, you confess your sins, and then you go like this. Oh, and Lord, if there's anything I forgot, forgive that too. To which God in heaven says, no. Look, it says to get forgiveness, we must confess our sins, right? Then how can you confess what you don't remember? So now you're saying, yeah, that's exactly it. So how am I supposed to confess it? Why don't you ask Him to remind you? Guys, there are probably some sins in your life that you've forgotten about. You think God forgot about it? Come on, you think God forgot about it? Then if you said, Lord, if there's something that I haven't confessed because I've forgotten it, why don't you bring that to mind and I'll confess that too. Trust me, He will open a dusty file cabinet for you and He will be sending some papers through in the next couple of weeks. It won't be the next couple of minutes. It'll be the next couple of weeks. But look what it says in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 3. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it shall be hid from him when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Verse 4. And if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be, that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And this is called, in verse 6, this is called the trespass offering. And time and again, the Bible says that, look at verse 17. If a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandment of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. So there are some sins that we forget. And you know what you do? The trespass offering takes care of the sins that you forgot. Isn't that good? I mean, isn't that good? It's kind of like this. You ever do this? and I don't care how long you've been saved. We all do this. You sit down and you take a bite of food. Then you remember to pray. And you feel like a pagan, you know? Like, look, I've been saved 30 years. How could I start eating without praying? Do you know that the Jews have a prayer by which they bless their food? They sit down and they bless their food. Now, Pharisees got a prayer for everything. They got a law for everything. In fact, you study the laws of the Pharisees, I'm talking about today, you'll realize, brother, that the law, the letter of the law killeth. But they, you know, they'll sit down before they eat, and they will ask God to bless the food. But if they make that mistake and take a bite of food before they pray, then they say the prayer to bless the food, but they don't feel the piece that they ate is already blessed in that. They get a special prayer. That prayer didn't take care of it. This is, you know, this is, I don't know, on its way. I mean, what do you say? You know, bless this food that's here and some that's in the pipeline. I mean, I don't know what you say. Well, you know what? You say, well, Lord, you know, I'm confessing this, and I'm confessing this, and I'm confessing this. And the Lord says, okay, you're taken care of. And then you go, oh, I just remembered something. That's okay. Trespass offering takes care of that too. And so Jesus Christ takes, he just simply covers everything. Look at Leviticus chapter 22.
Leviticus chapter 22. Pick it up at verse 21. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed, or having a wen or scurvy or scab, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar of the Lord, either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts. That mayest thou offer for a freewill offering. Look what it says. But for a vow it shall not be accepted. There is no vow involved in a free will offering. See, we think of free will as, I'm giving you this of my free will. Right? No, that's the willing offering. When you gave the gold, when you gave the precious stones, when you gave the silver and the brass, that was a willing offering. That's what we think of as, well, okay, I'm going to give this to you of my free will. The free will offering means there is no vow. That means your will is free. I am talking to some people who in an area of their life today are not free and don't want to be. Are you married? Didn't you get married with a what? A vow. So in that area, your will is not free. Well, I just want to go date around. Sorry, bucko. This is not the time. I mean, I can get over some people. Well, I just think God wants me to be happy. Yeah, He does. He didn't want you to marry that person, but you're married now. And so your will is not free in that area. So there is no vow involved in this offering. It is a free will offering. And you know what I think about? In other words, we are not bound by a vow with the free will offering. Jesus Christ was not bound to go to the cross. Even the night He was arrested, what did He say? He said, could you just let this pass for me? Could we just cancel this whole thing out? And then what else did He say? He said, not my will, but thine be done. And so there was no vow, but He still was the offering. And He was a free will offering. And He was not obligated to die. He went willingly. go to Numbers chapter 5. Numbers chapter 5, and there can be a problem with this in some folks. Numbers chapter 5 deals with the problem of jealousy. And some people have a problem with jealousy. Some people, I mean, they see their husband or wife talking to somebody, and it's like, oh, what are you talking to them for? So, well, I was, you know, they stopped and asked directions. And if a man had some reason to suspect that his wife was untrue, this passage talks about it. But look what it says in verse 15. Then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon. It is an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. In other words, this woman, apparently, he's jealous because there was a problem. You know, a husband can go out on his wife, a lady can go out on her husband, and they can take care of that and get back together. But you know where they had trust? Every time now when he calls and says, I really have to work late, she's going to go, oh, I wonder if he really is. Where she never had a problem with that before. You understand? Now there's a jealousy problem. There was some iniquity, and there is a jealousy problem. Did you ever have anybody knock at your door and say they're Jehovah's Witnesses? Did you? Well, I would say, oh, here JW's, jealous witnesses. Yeah, in Exodus, I think it's, I don't think it's 23:14. But it seems like it's a verse 14. But the Bible says, the Lord says, "My, I am a jealous God whose name is jealous." So God is jealous. He is jealous that we give our affection to other gods or to ourselves and to one another. Guys, look, I'm glad the Bulls win. But man, what some people think of their football teams. Really, what some people think of their football players. And you know, some of you will defend the immorality of a movie star that you don't even know. I heard this when O.J. Simpson was on trial for murder, and I don't listen to Limbaugh a lot. I just don't get to, but I was somewhere, and this guy was talking to Rush Limbaugh on the phone, and this is what the guy said. He said, "Well, the O.J. Simpson that I know would never murder anybody." Now, you know, if I heard that David Reagan was arrested for murder, you know what I'd say? The David Reagan I know, yeah, he'd probably do that. Yeah, he'd do that. No, I would say, well, the David Reagan I know would never do that because I know him. You understand? And so this guy says, well, the O.J. Simpson that I know would never do that. And so Limbaugh said, oh, you know him. You're a friend. He said, Well, no. I've just seen him play football. Guys, it's okay to be stupid, but if you don't say anything, no one's going to find out. And that guy let the whole country know that he was an idiot. And you say, well, I like that movie star. You don't like that movie star. And I got news for you. They don't like you. They don't like you. And you know what you'll do? You'll hear something about them and you'll defend them, and somebody says something bad about your God and you won't defend your God. Why wouldn't he be jealous? Why wouldn't he be upset that you'd be so loyal? That you'd... Hey, let me ask you if this ever happened. I'm going to talk to men. Men. I'm the head of the home. Men. You men ever been watching a movie with your family somewhere on TV or something, and a word or two were used that you didn't want your family to hear, it made you mad? Come on. It's happened, hadn't it? You ever been watching one and there was a scene on there that you didn't want your family to see, it made you mad? Did you get rid of your TV? But you come to church and one time a pastor makes you mad and you leave and don't come back. You got more grace with a Hollywood pervert than with a preacher. Why wouldn't God be upset about that? You know what it takes? It takes a jealousy offering. And you know what I appreciate about the Lord? He even paid for those times when we've been untrue to Him. He paid for when we've done Him wrong. That is like somebody buying a car from us and not paying us, and us paying ourselves to fill the debt. You never had anybody love you like that. Right. And then I want you to go to Exodus chapter 29. And get Exodus chapter 29 and Numbers chapter 28. Exodus chapter 29, of all these offerings, I'll show you one that may be one of the best ones you got. Verse 38 said, "Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even." You know, you brought an offering maybe one time a year or at a particular time of year. That's when all these offerings had an appointed time. You didn't just make an offering when you wanted to. You understand? And by the way, you didn't bring what you wanted either, or you ended up in a body bag. Right? But you brought these offerings at a particular time. But let's say you were bringing this offering on this day of the year, and 6 months later bringing this offering, and 3 months later bringing this offering. But you know what he said? He said, every day you're offering two lambs, one in the morning and one evening, just for your daily trespasses. Take a look at Numbers chapter 28. And Numbers chapter 28, it's going through many of the offerings that I've talked to you about. And it says, look at verse 3, "And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year, without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering." That's what we just talked about. Then it talks about the drink offering, but look at verse 10, or the burnt offering. "This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering." Look at verse 15. "And one kid of the goats for a sin offering unto the Lord shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. Verse 23, and ye shall offer these beside the burnt offering in the morning, which is for a continual burnt offering. The end of verse 24, it shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. Chapter 29, verse 15, right toward the end of the verse, beside the continual burnt offering. All through verse 19, verse 22, verse 25, verse 28, verse 31. It all says, verse 34, verse 20, 38, it says, beside the continual burnt offering. He's saying you make this offering, but that's not covered by this continual burnt offering. And you know what that continual burnt offering every day? That takes care of our daily transgressions. Because you drop the ball every day, don't you?
Amen.
You know what? You know what? He is our all-sufficient Savior, isn't He? I want you to look at one thing. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. There are 13 offerings that the Lord Jesus Christ covered that are mentioned in the Old Testament. And that's when you see that He covered everything, you understand exactly what Hebrews chapter 10 is saying when it says this in verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. See, we always say it this. For everybody, right? Once for all people, true. But once for all sacrifices. Look at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. So there goes the Catholic Church and the morning mass. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is our all-sufficient Savior. There is nothing left undone. I have never been madder. Every time I think about it, you know that Sun Young Moon guy? If there's anything, you know there's a lot of heretics, a lot of guys got screwed up doctrines and things like that, and I can really put up with them. But the thing that makes me maddest about that guy is he said he was here to take care of what Jesus Christ left undone. But Jesus Christ didn't leave anything undone.
Amen.
You understand that? I'll tell you this and I'll be done. That's before I got saved. Okay? Before I got saved, I used to steal cars. And I really didn't steal cars. I stole hubcaps, but I just took all four at the same time. And and after I got saved, somebody stole one of my cars. Actually, it didn't steal a car. It was a Volkswagen. And and had I caught them, I would have punished them extremely. I'd have made them keep the car. But but I had a Christian, and Christians come up with some really stupid statements. And a Christian said this to me, "Do you know why God had them steal your car?" I didn't even know God was in the business. Had I known, I wouldn't have gotten out. I would have just used my talent for the Lord. But anyway, he said, "Do you know why God had that guy steal your car?" And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, you stole cars before you were saved, so the Lord had to have somebody steal one of yours." I said, "Oh, no." I said, "I'm going to lose 24 more of them." But you know what I asked him? I said, "Are you telling me that the payment for my sins is the blood of Jesus Christ and a stolen car?" You know what some of you do? You have your children. You live an ungodly life. And you have your children. I'm talking about sin. I'm not talking about drugs that you put in your body, because I know those can have an effect. But you lived in a sinful manner before you got saved, and you're down at the maternity ward, and your wife is expecting a kid, and you're going, "Oh, I wonder if something bad is going to happen to the kid because of the way I lived." Why? What, you're going to tell me that the payment for your sin is the blood of Jesus Christ and a birth defect? Guys, He was all-sufficient.
Amen.
He took care of everything. Okay? And so you say, "Well, then, well, why do you reckon then that I ran out of gas?" Because you're stupid. Let's not blame God for that. All right, let's have a word of prayer, take a break. Father, we are all thankful to You that Jesus Christ did pay it all. Every single offering that was needed, everything that was required, God, for our peace, for our sanctification, for everything that we needed, Jesus Christ was everything. Thank You so much. God, I pray that maybe something that was said this morning will help these folks and ultimately bring glory to Thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, take a break.